Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Change never stops, does it?
Yes, and we're being reminded of this every day. It's the big story for us today, how we're having to find this new normal. And just like any other sector, the banking scene here in Singapore is having to adapt to a life with COVID-19.
Oh, here's a pretty well-known brand, Citi. They've been in Singapore since 1902 and is represented in nearly every asset class. Not only that, Citi Singapore is the largest foreign banking employer here in Singapore.
And while the Singapore government has been working hard to help businesses in these uncertain times, Citi Singapore has decided to return payouts under the job support scheme and will also decline future payments from the government under the scheme.
So the international bank joins a list of companies which have returned the wage subsidies, which are meant to help firms retain and pay their workers as businesses take a hit from the impact of COVID-19.
So then that raises a couple of questions, which are, why did Citi Singapore decide to return the payouts, and what are their plans to change client engagement moving forward?
I'll tell you what, let's find out from Amal Gupte, who is the ASEAN head and Citi country officer, Citi Singapore. Amal, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for taking the time. So the question on both our minds this morning is how Citi Singapore has returned payouts under the job support scheme. You guys are going to decline future payments from the government under the scheme. What was the motivation behind this?
Well, you know, Elliot, when we did receive the first payment, the amount got me thinking. And when I discussed it with my management team, it was pretty unanimous, the view that we should actually return it. And it was driven by two factors. First, we wanted a signal that companies like Citi are here for the long term, mm-hmm. and that the well-being of the larger community really matters to us. And the second, which is really more important, was giving back the JSS funding means that individuals, families, businesses who have a far greater need and assistance than us can benefit from it. And we just thought that that was the right decision for companies like us. So those were the two big reasons. And then there was another catalyst, which was a Facebook post put out by the DPM, where he talked about some earlier examples. And that kind of inspired us that that was the right thing to do, because this is really not a financial crisis. We are hurting, but we are in reasonably good shape. And we just thought that we should do what was right for the communities that we live and work in.
Wow, we'll talk about, you know, leading from the front, Amal. I hope that there will be others who will follow your example. Let's talk about initiatives for Citi's clients, for consumer and corporate divisions. You've taken part in the industry-wide COVID-19 special financial relief program to sort of help your consumer customers and corporate clients. What was the importance of joining the program?
I think it's important for the community to come together. It's important for the industry to come together. When I think under the auspices and the guidance of the MAS, the banks in Singapore really came together well. You have to remember that this is what we're going through is more severe than the global financial crisis. And it's not just a responsibility of the government. I think that it's important for burden sharing. I think it's important for all of us in the industry doing what we can, which was also a little bit of the thinking that we had for returning the JSS. Mm-hmm. Employers can't exist without employees. Employees can't exist without employers. It's a mutually symbiotic relationship. The same goes for landlords and tenants. They both depend on each other. They both need each other. And so this burden sharing is an important bit that we as an industry, when we came together, we just thought that helping and enabling small businesses, individuals deal with their mortgages, with their loans, with for SMEs, etc., was the right thing for us to do in Singapore as we went through this pretty uncharted and unforeseen situation that we're going through right now.
And Amal, just following up on that very quickly, have you received any feedback from your clients? What are they saying about your approach?
Very, very pleased. Very pleased. I would say across the industry, very pleased. I've seen programs across the region. I think the ones we've designed in Singapore are hitting the spot, if you will. They're hitting the pain points that our clients are facing in the industry. So they're being pretty well received.
But looking at clients is one thing. What about the community? I'm getting the impression that Citi is really doing a lot to give back or help out in that sense. What's Citi doing to help the Singapore community during these uncertain times?
So, Elliot, this goes back to what I talked about in burden sharing. And, You know, and really that's driven what we want to do. One of our core values as an organization is to enable growth and progress in the communities that we live and work in. And everything we do is driven around those two big principles. So in order to drive those, you know, we've made a few philanthropic commitments. We've made a commitment of 150,000 to the YMCA in Singapore to deliver complimentary meals to the frontline staff. Mm. We've made another pledge of 150,000 to two very old relationships of ours, which is the Straits Times School Pocket Money Fund and the Business Times Budding Artists Fund. We've been partners with them since 2002. We've raised over 10 million for them over the years, and through them we support the child aid. So we decided that, you know, we would re-pledge money to them, as those kids are also going through difficult times, sitting at home and, you know, trying to do online learning. And then finally, what we're doing is also doing a large organization-wide fundraising campaign. And that, again, we're doing it through the Circuit Breaker online. We've broken it up into different teams to give it a little competitive spirit. And that money is going to go towards HOME, which is Humanitarian Organization for Migration Economics, which is really in support of all the migrant workers, which are dealing with really, really difficult times.
Yeah, this is all really great stuff to hear. We're speaking to Amol Gupte, who is ASEAN head and city country officer for City Singapore. But often people will say that, you know, all of these sorts of initiatives start right at home. How are you caring for your own employees? A lot of them working from home. What sort of initiatives have you come up with?
So, Manisha, it's a great question. You know, as we were in the circuit breaker last week, we were coming out of it. We had the chance to actually send a lot more people back into the office starting Tuesday of last week. And I began to listen to our employees. I began to get feedback from our employees. And, you know, in the circuit breaker, we had about 12% of our people going into the office. And remember, we have a large staff base here in Singapore. We have close to 8,500 people we provide employment to. And I began to get a sense that, you know, our employees weren't ready. They weren't comfortable to go back to the office yet. And the 88% that were at home were incredibly productive. And I said to myself, I mean, there is really no rush here. There is no being first here. We want to be deliberately thoughtful. We want to be deliberately considerate and slow in going back into the office. And so we took a decision to postpone our return to office from last week to at the earliest July. And I'll take a call towards the end of June where people are, because employee safety is absolutely our number one priority for us.
Okay. Does this mean that you'd be open to letting your employees, you know, continue to work from home beyond the 1st of July?
So that's what I said. We'll take a call towards the end of June. We'll see the situation. I mean, you know, we're not going to get fixated by dates. I've always said it's all about the data. It's not about dates. So if the situation is better, if the spread in the community is much lower, we will use the data then to take a call then. And, you know, we will also get a sense and we will get a pulse how our employees feel. Maybe at that stage and at that time, much more of Singapore is open. People are feeling more comfortable to interact with each other. And maybe that's a better time for us to slowly start seeding people back into office.
Amol, I want to get your thoughts on this, because you mentioned that 88% of your staff working from home, they're doing it very productively. That's great. But, you know, there are opinions that this pandemic has killed work-life balance because it's so easy to just go online and get your work done. What are your thoughts on this? How are you approaching
like today,
this with your staff?
I've started since 6:30 in the morning. Thanks to you.
That's my bad. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we try to tell people to make it, you know, a hard start and a hard finish.
Right.
There is also the softer side of, you know, trying to have some social engagement. So we do a lot of Zoom socials. I do a lot of skip-level connectivity into my organization. I go 2-3 levels down, talk to people. But this is going to change the way we work long-term. This is going to have profound change for us. It's going to give flexibility a whole new meaning. I mean, you know, for over a decade, organizations have talked about work-life balance, working from home, flexibility. But I think this just changes it, and it has crystallized this whole concept of flexibility. And we're going to go into the future with a lot more people working from home, wanting the flexibility. And what the flip side of that is that it really opens up whole new pools of talent that we can look at to employ, which we weren't able to in the past. Because what's happened now, Elliot and Manisha, is that we've been able to take jobs home, right? The jobs were conceptually always in an office, and now the jobs have gone from the office, they've gone home. And with the jobs gone home, we can tap into many people who are not available in the workforce. Think about the number of moms that gave up and being in the workforce. We can tap back on all of them as being potential employees for us. So there's also a flip side that has a large upside potential for all of us.
Yeah, most definitely. Mm. I'm just sort of going back into the annals of my memory, and I'm remembering 3 years ago hosting a panel at the FinTech conference here in Singapore. And actually one of the panelists was Vikram Bandit, who of course used to run Citigroup. And, you know, I asked Vikram about, in particular, digitalization and the future of banking. And he talked about a lot of back office jobs that would go digital and that most people on the front side wouldn't have to worry about it. But this is all having to change. We've had to push the agenda because we've been shoved in that direction by this pandemic. Do you see the way that you interact with your clients shifting?
We do. I mean, just think about this. We have the second or the third largest trading floor in the world here in Singapore. And 85% of that trading floor is sitting at home and doing its job and trading from home. No latency. And they're doing the jobs effectively. Prior to this crisis, we hadn't thought that that was possible. So this is going to have a profound impact. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone's going to continue working at home, because there are two things that you cannot do sitting at home and working from home. And one is build relationships of trust. And the second is build a culture. Those two things do need human beings to interact socially with each other. So there are going to be parts of our business that are going to rely on having to continue to have human contact. But, you know, here in Singapore, just yesterday, we pitched virtually for an IPO deal for a client here in Singapore whom we've never met. The entire pitch, the whole meetings, first-time interaction, all virtual. So, you know, what you thought was completely impossible is being done in these difficult times.
Yeah, fantastic. You know what I see, Manisha? I see maternity leave. For a year, you can work from home.
Incredible.
Why
I've got
right?
three kids, though. I'm not going to indulge in that ever again.
We've been speaking with Amol Gupte, who is the ASEAN head and city country officer for Citi Singapore. Amol, thank you so much for your time. You take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.